Berger, President of Capstone Marketing. I am happy to be talking today with Rebecca Wyand, Practice Growth Specialist at Ray & Associates, and the 2018 Association for Accounting Marketing Volunteer of the Year. A member of AIM since 2013, Rebecca has given tirelessly of her time and talents to the role of chair of AIM's Member Growth Committee, from welcoming new members to working with other committees to developing innovative member appreciation and satisfaction programs. Rebecca helps AIM achieve its goal of providing quality content and value to its members. Rebecca, congratulations on being named the 2018 Volunteer of the Year. Great job.
Well, thank you so much. And oh my goodness, thank you so much for that introduction. Made me feel good, so thank you. I'm happy to do all those things, so thank you.
Well, it's well-deserved, and I know that you were not able to attend the summit this year, unfortunately, but we all gave you a huge round of applause.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. So.
So tell me, so now, as I've mentioned, you're a practice growth specialist at Ray & Associates. So tell me what you think is the greatest challenge in marketing CPA firms.
To me, I think it's, the best way to say it is just making the industry sexy. You know, you think of accountants and you're just like, okay, but it's, there, you know, how do you make it fun and exciting? Especially because, like, who wants to read about taxes or the latest update in QuickBooks? You know, it's important information that we need to know, but it's not all the, I'd rather read something more entertaining or something that relates to my hobby or my interest. So it's making that content informative, but yet delivered in a way that will attract the reader, attract your clients, and engage them. And so I find that that's a challenge, but it's kind of an exciting challenge because kind of really using that creativeness that you have to kind of get them engaged and get them reading and get them following you.
Right. So can you give us an example of how you do that at Ray?
So I think the biggest thing that we have done to kind of embrace the kind of making it fun and exciting and showing that side of accounting is we have our own podcast, Unsuitable, on Ray Radio. And it really is just a similar to like this like podcast. It's just really laid back and relaxed. There's always, you know, the host, Dave Kane, who's a principal at Ray, you know, always has a couple beers and there's beers for the guests just to kind of show that fun side. And it's really edgy and it's just not your typical here's all this information. It's trying to make it more humanized by bringing in an expert and letting them talk and share their experience, share their advice, and share their story.
Mm-hmm. That's a great example, and I've spoken to Becca about that in the past, and you absolutely, you know, have turned another marketing tool, that being podcasts, into a really fun, effective promotional tool for the firm.
Yes, and it's kind of nice because it kind of drives a lot of our content. So we have an episode that comes out every week, and then we have relating supportive content to help promote that episode. So we almost develop our schedule for who we want as guests, and then we kind of develop the relative content to go with it. And then we just sit back and watch and look at the stats and see, okay, we had a lot of listeners this time, we had a lot of clicks on this, and okay, this is what people want. So we'll share more of that, or we'll bring in another guest that's similar but gives a little more in-depth information or takes a different path with that information. Mm-hmm. And so it's really nice. So it's kind of our starting point for our content, and then it just kind of flows into a variety of other pieces of content and information that we can share to our audience.
Right. That's wonderful. Okay, so for those of you listening and reading, it's the podcast is called Unsuitable, and it's on Ray Radio, on iTunes, and where else, Rebecca?
Well, we're on iTunes, we're on Libsyn, and then we just started putting it on iHeartRadio. You can also catch it on our website, raycpa.com. So
nice.
Getting out there.
That's wonderful. Awesome.
Well, thank you.
So what are the biggest changes that you've noticed in accounting marketing? Now, I don't know that, how many years experience, so you've been a member since 2013, so it could be about 5 years that you've, okay. So
yes.
Tell me what you've noticed in the time you've been in accounting marketing. What's the biggest change you've noticed?
I think it's really embracing the whole idea of content marketing and really understanding that our audience, our clients, they want information, but they don't want us, you know, stuffing it down their throats. They really want, it's embracing and understanding how they want that information. Do they want a newsletter? Do they want a video? It's really, we're really embracing kind of looking at how our audience, our clients engage with us and then sharing the content that way. It does create like a variety of us, for example. I mean, we do a printed newsletter. We have e-newsletters. We have slideshares, we have videos we do, we have presentations, webinars, we do it all, but we don't market it and throw it out to everybody. We kind of send the printed newsletter to those who want it printed and listen to the audience and say, okay, well, what would work best for them? Another example that I have that kind of shows how we're, you know, the industry is kind of embracing this. We have a really strong presence in the Amish community, which is pretty big here in Ohio, and they have a thirst. They love information. They just love reading, and they're very much an untapped segment. Mm-hmm. So we're like, well, how do we get in front of them? Well, we have to actually do a printed newsletter and mail it to them.
You don't hear a lot about these days, right?
Yes, exactly. And not only that, is we always kind of make the little, we always kind of say, well, this is like the easy, because it's very simple. It's like Times New Roman, 12-point font. There's maybe one photo. It's not very flashy, but that's not what they want. You know, they don't want the flash. They don't need all the colors and the photos and infographics. They just want the information. So it's really nice because they're untapped. They don't have, you know, they don't have the internet. So they don't have access to all this content that we've already developed. So we're able to kind of take content we already have, readjust it to fit them, and then mail it out each quarter. And we grow. I mean, the list started, we've more than covered the cost. We've more than covered the cost of making the newsletter. Mm-hmm. By bringing on new clients. So it's really, I think we're seeing that a lot more with a lot of firms. It's just changing how we're talking to them. So it's more talking with them instead of talking at them.
Right. And just throwing information out for everybody and not personalizing it, not targeting it. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So given that, what's your prediction for accounting marketing for the next 5 years?
I definitely think we're going to continue with that very personalized marketing. We have these tools, and I think CRM and marketing automation are tools that have been around for a while, but I know a lot of firms haven't really, we're a perfect example. We're getting CRM in the next couple months, but it took us quite a journey to figure out the vendor, to figure out how do we adapt it into our culture and how do we get engagement and get our employees using it. So it's a long process. So I think it gets even more personalized to the point of more one-on-one because we can understand when someone comes to our website, especially with marketing automation, like you can understand what's their goal, what they're doing, you're watching them, and then you can kind of develop more content that's specific for their needs. I mean, that's what's really cool. I mean, I think it's a little scary too about marketing automation, but you can really understand, like, this person's clicking on this article about a business evaluation. We can kind of make suggestions based on their path or notify our business evaluation segment leader and say, hey, we had these people on our website today. They spent a lot of time reading this article. Might be good just to touch base and see if they want more information. So I think it's becoming more to like that personal level of marketing and kind of reaching out to our clients and really understanding their needs.
And nowadays, don't you think that when people are cruising the internet and they're downloading information or they're reading articles or whatever it may be, that there's the expectation that they know that the companies know what they're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the early days, you know, when e-newsletters first started and we could actually tell, like, who clicked on it and who opened it and read it. And, ooh, we're not supposed to actually let them know that we know they opened it. But nowadays, I think the expectation is there that they're going to get a call or there's going to be something that will happen as a result of them reading or using your information.
I agree completely. I mean, I think everyone's become so used to it too now. Like if you think about you're on a company's website, you're on like Kohl's website and you're looking at a pair of shoes and you're like, oh, maybe, and you're like reading the information and then you go away and you then go to Facebook, you see that shoe right there. Like, oh my gosh, I was just looking at that shoe. And it's like, hey, just a reminder. I mean, so I think we're kind of seeing it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually saw, it was like a comic book meme the other day, and it was an individual and they're sitting at the computer and they made a comment about the cookies and like, I don't want people knowing this information, you know, I want to protect myself, no to the
mm-hmm.
cookies. And then the next phrase was, oh, well, now my shopping experience is not as personalized, like, you know, because I don't want, so I think it's become very accustomed, people are used to it.
Right.
And I think it definitely helped kind of build the relationship with that company because I feel like the consumers want more than just I'm going to go to this store and buy this widget. They want an experience. They want it easy. They want it quick, and they want it a happy experience. And I feel a lot of times
mm-hmm.
we're more buying experience than necessarily a product.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Especially now with the focus on client experience and people within firms, you know, holding that role, like that client experience is their job,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes. How they can make the situation great for the client,
I agree. Right, absolutely. So I know that you've built a vast network, you know, in our accounting marketing world. What are the factors or skills that you've seen that enable accounting marketers to be successful?
I think it's definitely being flexible and being able to adapt. Realizing that the same thing that worked 5 years ago, maybe 2 years ago, might not work again. And definitely always, I kind of like the phrase of always improve everything. So just because it's working right now doesn't mean that there's something more you could be doing to make that make that piece of information better. We kind of look at it like, well, we have this really great article and how else can we take that information and kind of change it up? Can we put it into an infographic? Can we put it into a presentation? Do we make it a webinar? So it's just always being really to adapt and flexible to change things up. I definitely think creativity and thinking outside the box. I know I go back to the podcast example that we talked about. When it was it was actually brought to us, Rebecca, our director of marketing,
mm-hmm.
one of our partners at the time, he brought the idea to her, and she was like, who's going to listen to a podcast of people talking about it? Who's going to listen to that? No one's going to want to listen to it. But we did some research and kind of discovered that the people that are listening to podcasts is our audience. It's who our clients are, like we're the clients we want to get. So we're like, well, let's try it out. And it turned out, I mean, it's been very successful for us. So I think it's just because we have that, you know, that thought of like, well, you know, accounting's more the suit and tie. And it's really can be fun and exciting. It's just you got to think of how it will work for you. So definitely thinking outside the box. And then I think there has to be an element of curiosity. One of the things I always talk about, one of my traits is curiosity. Like I always have to know the answer of why something worked or why didn't it work? And so I, at Ray, work more on the analytical side and looking at the results of our campaigns and things like that. So I think having curiosity to understand what is driving your success or what can be improved and looking at the numbers can kind of bring in new ideas and new thoughts. And so I kind of relate that curiosity also with the hunger to, you know, keep trying and keep looking and stuff like that. So I think those are some of the top qualities that will definitely can help marketers be successful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in addition to that curiosity that you have, which mm-hmm. of your personal skills has contributed most to your success?
I think a lot of it relates to I'm trying to think of the best way to phrase this, is understanding the why. I think that's why, like, I definitely work more on the analytical side. I want to understand why this segment of ours is performing so high. You know, every month we create kind of segment reports that looks at our revenue by our services, but also by the industries that we have a lot of clients in. And we can see that this one industry is constantly improving. So I'm reaching out to that segment leader. It's like, what are you guys doing? What's going on? Like, and talking to them and understanding their engagement, you know, because I want to share that information with the whole firm. If they have something that causes them to improve 20% from this time last year, what's that reason why?
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with, like, our website visits. We kind of, you know, and it's kind of normal, like tax season, you always get a lot more searches and you get come up a little bit more. And then right after tax season, we always have a little bit of dip in visitors and they kind of come back up. But it's kind of understanding why does that happen? What do we need to change on our content or on our marketing to kind of flip things up? What are people wanting instead of taxes? I mean, they're still searching something. So it's adjusting and understanding why, definitely mm-hmm. think.
Right.
And I think a lot of it is just, and I think another one of my personal skills is kind of just never giving up, you know. I don't like just to you know, to give up and be like, well, that's just the way it is. Like, no, there has to be some reason as to why that's the way it is. So I definitely relate all that stuff and kind of wraps up into my, you know, curiosity, mm-hmm. as I mentioned a little bit before. Mm-hmm.
Right. So you're persistent.
And then, yes, that's a good word for it. So persistence, I think that's a good word.
Right. Well, what it sounds like is if you're not giving up and you really want to, you know, get behind the information and why things happen as they do, and also
yes.
that takes persistence.
Mm-hmm. And then I think another personal skill of mine that kind of helped there is I always kind of, into the, like, it's interesting. I always, our team works is, I work a lot with our one manager. She's our content girl, and she's amazing, and she can write content. She can make the most boring subjects so interesting. And I think, like, what works really well with her and our skills is I'm not like that. I'm not the writer. I'm not the creative mind behind that. I'm not the artistic one. But I'm able to kind of understand, and it goes back, and I can understand stuff, or I'm very analytical, and I'm able to be like, okay, here, in looking at our stats, here's the information people want, or here's the information they're currently engaging with. How can we make it look good? And so it was like we really balance each other, because, you know, she doesn't enjoy that part of looking at the numbers, looking at the stats, but I do. So I can, like, relay that to her, and then she's like, okay, well, this is what we're going to do to make it fun and get people writing, and get people engaged, and we'll do it that way. So
right.
I think for me in my position, it's kind of my analytical thought and thoughts and, you know,
right.
the brain and how it's always looking at wanting to look at them. So.
Right. But that's a great example of a marketing team with the members placed in the appropriate roles, depending upon your skills and your areas of interest. Because even with marketers, you know, there's all different types of marketers.
Yes, there are. It's kind of our team is very unique like that, and we've kind of worked. We've done a lot with understanding kind of our skills, and have done testing and to understand kind of what our strengths are and our top strength. The Strength Finders test is the one that we do a lot. And we have adjusted tasks and moved things along to make sure we're doing what interests us. And it's nice, especially when you're in a team role, to understand that of each other. Because when we did the test, the Strength Finders test, we then all got together and talked about what our top strengths were and explained what that meant for us. And we found kind of aha moments. We're like, oh, so that's why you're like that, you know, or that's why you're, we're like, okay. And we understood each other better too. And it helped us work together better. So I think for like a team, there's so many different kind of tests, but just to kind of get together and just get to know each other and understand what your strengths are is huge into making your team work really well together.
Right. That's terrific. So Rebecca, we hear a lot about, getting a seat at the table. You know, we've seen marketers mm-hmm. achieve, you know, that chief marketing officer or principal
yes.
or partner level. How do you think marketers can gain more power or influence within their firms?
I think there's actually like there's two ways you can do this. One, I think it's actually when I first joined the firm about 5 years ago, we did, Ray does a lot of what we call like research calls, where you're going and you're just really just talking to a client, a prospect, a referral. And it's not a sale, it's just talking to them and understanding their needs and their thoughts. And, you know, it's one of the things that at Ray we really encourage a lot of people to do. Well, we did that with the partners. So the marketing group all went around and we met with partners and we just asked them a bunch of questions to kind of understand their thoughts and their hesitations or what they liked, what they didn't like. And I think it opened, especially me, was just starting, it kind of helped me understand what they were thinking. We had them mention that, well, we didn't know you guys could do all this stuff or no one reaches out to us. We're like, okay, so we made a note. This partner wants us to touch base more with him, so we can do that. We had another partner mention, well, whenever I bring ideas to you, you guys don't really seem engaged by them or you kind of seem to pass over them. And that's not what we're trying to do. It's just, you know, we have a lot of people that we're trying to please. And so we were like, okay, well, we'll make sure to really make sure we're listening and engaging. We had some partners that just said, I don't need any help. I don't want anything. So we're like, okay, we won't, you know, we'll focus and work with the partners that really want to work with us. So it's just, I think, engaging and just talking to them to understand their needs and their thoughts. And then
right.
I think another
one.
Because
they're your clients, right? The
right,
partners
exactly.
are your clients and you need to understand them. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And then I think another big thing is just proving it. We work with accountants. They want to see the numbers. That's what they like. They like numbers. So I think, you know, when I go back again to the podcast idea, just because when we did the research, you know, when Becca did the research, she saw that here are the people that are listening to podcasts. Here's what happens. And we really understood the numbers, like the results of it. She then kind of put that together in a presentation and presented that to our CEO and showed him, okay, this is what we can expect. We're reaching the people we want. It is a growing, it's growing and people are doing podcasts more and more. So I think it's proving it. When we do a campaign for them, show the results. Show we had this many visitors come to this, if it's like an article or a webinar, we had this many listeners. And then we've gotten to the point where we're really trying to track web leads that come in and where they go and if they get on the pipeline and then if they, you know, we get they become a client, how much money we get from it to show the ROI of the website. You know, really track your results and detail them out and then share that information so you can really show that this is why it's working. And
right.
then I think that helps them. And it's speaking to them the way they want. They don't want to, you know, always hear that, well, yeah, we produced 250 articles this month. Okay, but those 250 articles resulted in this many clients or this many visits or this much engagement and, you know, and show we
right.
got you this from all this that we did.
Absolutely. You're providing the evidence.
Yes.
Of what the marketing program is bringing, right? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's great advice for everybody, actually.
yeah.
So what is your best piece of advice for accounting marketers?
I think it's don't be afraid to ask. There are so many great resources out there. Like the Association for Accounting Marketing is one of them. There are other people that are in your shoes that understand what you're going through. Don't be afraid to ask for help or advice or just feedback. I've known from especially my experience with AIM is everyone's very open and they want to help and they're willing to share. So if you're stuck on an idea or want a way to improve something, you know, reaching out is great. A lot of times we don't have to really reinvent the wheel. If you're looking for how do we get more audit clients, or how do I get more attendees to my webinars, I mean, just ask that of your colleagues and they'll be willing to share. And then you can take an idea that they had and kind of tweak it and make it work for you. So I think it's not being afraid that you're, especially because I know a lot of times there are firms out there where there's just one person in marketing. Mm-hmm. So it's harder to turn to someone and be like, I need your help with something when it's just you. So I think it's great that we have.
Unless you have a conversation with yourself, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can do that too. I know I do it too myself. But and definitely don't be afraid to ask. And then we kind of use this saying in our team, but we said be fearless. Don't be afraid to, and you know, don't be afraid to do something new or that might not seem typical. Definitely be fearless and try something new. And especially if you've looked into it and have seen success from other, you know, from other firms or other, you know, other companies, just try it, you know. Because if you don't, then you might miss an opportunity for some really great revenue or experiences for your firm.
Right, absolutely. And then let's wrap up with the question of your best piece of advice for managing partners.
So I thought about this one, and I think you know, definitely that be fearless can fall into that category as well. But I think and it kind of relates back to what we were talking about with content marketing and the personalized experience. And I think managing partners, it's great to like make sure you're understanding your clients and really listening to them. I feel like as an industry also, when we mentioned talk about changes, from the more the accounting side, I think things are changing to where our clients and prospects are not looking for just that tax person that's going to do their taxes, here you go, be done, or that audit person that's going to run through the audit. Everything looks good and be done. I think they're more turning towards, you know, their us or the accounting firms for more expertise, almost like a consulting side of it. And it's, you have to kind of build a relationship with that client and really understand them. But, you know, you're looking at their tax form or you're looking at their audit, you can definitely see insights and provide feedback of how they can improve.
Mm-hmm.
I think the consulting side is where a lot, and we hear it a lot, but a lot of firms are going to that because it's really what the clients want. So I think it's a huge opportunity. And it's understanding them and learning about them. And I think sometimes you have to go a little bit further. I know at Ray, we try to almost, I don't want to say like, you know, how everyone says like Facebook stalk, but, you know, we want to watch our, like we have our top clients and like we're watching them on, you know, what press releases are coming out, what are they doing on social media, like really learning about them and engaging to kind of understand who they are and then build a relationship. I think a lot of times they're looking for a person at the table to sit with them and be like, okay, well, this is what we can do to improve your business. This is what we can do to get you guys, you know, with succession planning. I mean, it's not something you do 2 years before you want to retire. It's something you have to do 5 to 10 years out. So they want someone to help them to get them down that path so they can retire the way they want. So I think it's really like going a little bit above and beyond than just the normal tax return or, and just really understanding them and helping them see kind of the light.
Right. And how, I mean, you've just given some great examples of how the marketing director or marketing department can help the partners and managers develop those relationships with the clients.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's just a quick, if we can watch, you know, pay attention and help you guys watch, if there's a client that, you know, is a big client of yours and they send out a press release that they're celebrating their 50th anniversary. And for whatever reason, like, oh, great, you know, you can share that with your managing partner and say, you know, have congratulations, or they're bringing in, there's a change, or, you know, a new employee is coming in, you know, you can send the congratulations. I mean, we had a client and they were nominated a top place to work, you know, how everybody does those. And they were nominated. So I just sent a quick note. It's like, hey, I just saw that this company was nominated a top place to work. And maybe just give them like a quick congratulations email or something. But, you know, those meaningful touches, they really make an impact.
Absolutely. I agree completely. So we've been talking today with Rebecca Wyand, Practice Growth Specialist at Ray & Associates and the 2018 Association for Accounting Marketing Volunteer of the Year. Rebecca, congratulations again.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that so much.